And now we come before you, we bow before you. We acknowledge that what we read earlier from Hebrews is your word. We ask for your spirit to lead and guide us as we look at this wonderful passage this morning. Help us to learn about faith. Help us to have faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know when it was, probably May last year, we began the book of Hebrews. We're going to read to you the very first words. I better put my little mic on here. Sorry, Mitch. Okay, we better put... I just wanted to go right back to the beginning of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 1, what a great declaration we have. It says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the world. And he, that's Jesus, is the radiance of the Father's glory, the exact representation of his nature, upholding all things by the word of his power. And when he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Wow, what a declaration. We believe there is a God, a glorious and great God. We believe that he has spoken to us in his Son. Isn't it interesting, the word in, not through, in. God the Father was in his Son speaking to the world through him. And we believe that he has saved us through his Son. There it is at the beginning of Hebrews. He made purification of sins. And by faith in God and in his Son and in his Word, we live. By faith in God and in his Son and in his Word, we anticipate our living and glorious hope. By faith in God and in his Son and in his Word, we are grateful that us sinners have been made clean and right before the holy God and will not be judged, but welcomed into heaven. And friends, I emphasized a word through all that, faith. Faith is the most important thing in all of life. Faith is the key to life. Having faith in God, the real God. Having faith in his eternal Son. And having faith in his eternal word. And you ought to know that. And I want to encourage you how important faith is. And that's why in the book of Hebrews we have a whole chapter devoted to faith. It's because it's so important. And last week we looked at a very important verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to that verse. And it says there, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." See what it says there about faith. If you do not have faith, you cannot please God. You cannot ever find favour with God. You can never be right with God unless you have faith. And not only that, if you have faith, that will cause you to have a heart to seek God. And this faith that seeks God, you will be rewarded. What rewards? There are many rewards for those who have faith in the living God and in his Son and in his Word. I just want to mention three of them. Having faith means you are declared righteous before God. Isn't that amazing? Righteous. Having faith in God means that you will have rest, eternal rest in God's home. And having faith in God means you have a rock in Jesus all the days of your life. What great rewards. And there's another million and another million after that, I reckon, of the rewards that come to those who walk by faith, who live by faith. Faith! It's all about faith. Having faith in God and in his Son and in his Word. And how this faith we have, it's not easy to have in a fallen world. And I want to remind you of what led us into Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read the last three verses of Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 37 to 39. It says, "For yet, in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." That's Jesus' return. 38. "But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But then verse 39 says, "But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith in the preserving of the soul." And you know, this passage tells us that It's not easy to have faith in this fallen world. Do you know that? You should know that. It's tried and tested. There are many things that can pull us away. And we're urged by the Hebrew writer, by God's Spirit speaking through the Hebrew writer, don't shrink back. Don't fall away. Have faith. It's so important. It's everything. Hold on to God. Hold on to His Son. Hold on to His Word. Do not be those who shrink back. And we're meant to encourage each other in this. The Hebrew writer is saying this. He's encouraging us to have faith. And that's how Hebrews 11 then comes into play. He wants to define faith, as we saw last week, and then he wants to give us examples of faith. He wants us to show us what faith looks like, that we might be a people who grasp hold of faith and are growing in faith, keeping the faith right to the very end. And a big part of Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith of a man we call the father of the faithful. His name happens to be Abraham. And he's a big part in Hebrews 11. This morning we have the joy and privilege to look at the life of Abraham, more specifically, to look at the faith of Abraham. And then also Sarah's faith is included as well. And there's our four things that we're going to mention about Abraham's faith. And let's look at the first one. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 8. It says there, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now what the Hebrew writer, the Holy Spirit through the Hebrew writer, wants us to see in this next section about Abraham's life, he wants to show us what faith looks like. What goes with faith? In this verse, in verse 8, we see the first thing. What goes with faith? What shows faith? Did you pick it up? Obedience. Faith shows itself by obedience to God. Faith shows itself by obedience to God. And that's what we see in Abraham's life. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out. Alright. Have you noticed how this is emphasised in a special chapter in the Bible called James chapter 2? In James chapter 2. It says in verses 19 and 20, you believe that God is one? You do well. Demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognise, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Wow. Or to put it in the language of Hebrews 11, faith without obedience is a waste of time. And James chapter 2 verse 26 says, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So if we don't have works, that is obedience to God, we've got nothing to talk about. We can talk all about faith and what it's meant to be about, and we can define faith and give examples of faith, but faith without obedience to God is just rubbish. And Abraham is a wonderful example of a man who had true faith. True faith showed itself in Abraham, because when he heard God's call, he obeyed. Can you imagine the obedience of Abraham? Let's remember, he's in Mesopotamia. And Stephen, who was martyred, gives a great speech about the ancestors, including Abraham, and how he was called from Mesopotamia and had to travel all this distance with all his stuff and with his wife and with Lot. It would have been risky and dangerous. There's robbers, there's ambushes. But he went into a foreign land, away from family, away from friends, away from culture, away from custom, away from the idols of his people. He trusted God, he heard God's call, and he went. What obedience! Wow! He went into a foreign land. He could have just maybe been there one day and got killed. But he trusted God, he obeyed God, and he went. And he's a great example of having faith. Faith is obeying God no matter what. What about us? Probably we haven't had a heavenly calling to move to Israel. Mind you, went on a holiday there last year in March, which was amazing. But I know, and I hope you know, that we have received a heavenly calling to follow Jesus. To leave behind the ways of this world. And to live for His kingdom. To live as aliens and strangers in this fallen world. And to give ourselves to God. How do we show this? By faith, by being obedient to Christ, listening to him and following him. And so even though we're not like Abraham, called to leave a land and go to another, we are called to follow Jesus and live in a new place, in a new kingdom called the kingdom of God. And we're meant to be obedient. Faith is seen. True faith. If we boast that we have faith in God and his son and his word, it will show itself by being obedient to Jesus. There's two verses in the New Testament that sometimes we realize are not even there. And they say something about this. At the beginning of Romans chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, "We have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake." Wow! Did you pick up that phrase? The obedience of faith. He didn't just say faith in Christ, but obedience of faith to Christ. And so that's a part of the gospel, that we don't just believe in Jesus, but we follow him. And also in 1 Peter, which we're going to have us preach tonight, I keep quoting 1 Peter at the moment, but 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says, "You have been chosen," what a verse, "we have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may," doesn't say believe, "that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled by his blood." Sometimes we miss this emphasis in the gospel. We're not just called to be a believer in Jesus, but to be a believer in Jesus means that we come under him and we obey him. We're not saved by perfect obedience or anything like that. Obedience is showing our faith in Christ and our love for Christ. And that's how we are to be. So let's learn that a big aspect of faith is shown in obedience. Let's now move on to something else that we learn from Abraham's faith in God and also Sarah. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, let's turn now to verses 11 and 12. "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Okay, so the Hebrew writer highlights another thing about faith. How does faith show itself? What's another aspect of faith? What do you reckon it is? It's not obedience now. There's something else being shown what faith looks like. Faith is trust. Trusting God's promises. God made an amazing promise to Abraham and Sarah. All their days together, they couldn't have any children. And then when Abraham is just a 99-year-old, and Sarah an 89-year-old, that's why it said they're as good as dead. Abraham was as good as dead concerned having a baby through Sarah, and Sarah's good as dead in having a baby at 89. God promises them that they're going to have a child. And they trusted God. Faith shows itself in trusting God's word, trusting God's promises. That's another really important aspect of faith. And you know, I think of us being followers of Jesus. We are also called to trust God in his most magnificent and precious promises to us in Christ. Faith shows itself when we trust God for what he said. So, let's just get right down to the nitty-gritty here and say this. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, and we ought to know there is no way we will ever get to heaven. There is no way we will ever make it past the day of judgment. There's no way we will permit it because we're guilty. But hang on. God has promised that if we believe in his son Jesus and trust in him, God has promised, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, that all our sins are forgiven. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins and paid the full penalty for our sins. And so how does faith show itself? It shows itself by saying, "I trust what God has declared. I trust that I am saved and forgiven because God has promised salvation to all those who believe in His Son. And that's how it is for Christians. Abraham shows us that faith is trusting God's word, and we are also to do the same. I remember when I was especially a younger Christian, and I was especially back then really doubting salvation a lot and wondering how God could forgive me, a sinner. And I remember just God telling me, trust my word. Kept praying the sinner's prayer every week, every day. It's like I had to hear from heaven, I've already heard your prayer, you're forgiven. Because what I hadn't done was trust God in what He said. And even when we have doubts, you might have doubts now, I can have them too sometimes, we've got to go back to what He's promised. His promises are faithful and true. What about 1 John 1:9? If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. And we've got to learn, like Abraham did, faith shows itself by trusting what God has declared. And this aspect of faith is very important. Because in Genesis chapter 15, let's read verses 5 and 6. And it says there, and God took him outside and said, now look, this is Abraham, now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then Abraham believed in the Lord and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. This is a massive statement. This is brought up in the New Testament a lot. Why? There's something exciting here. God declared Abraham to be righteous, not based on works, not even based on obedience, but on trusting what God had declared. Trusting in His Word. And that's the same principle that operates for us. We need to trust what God has declared to us in Christ. Then you are declared righteous, no matter what you've done. Praise God. Praise God indeed. So that's a very important aspect of faith, that we trust what God has declared. Let's now look at the third thing about Abraham's faith. And we're going to read verses 9 and 10. Just go back a bit. Verses 9 and 10. This is an amazing section. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. By faith, Abraham lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Wow. I love that. You know, sometimes we think, it's all about, he's going to a land which his descendants will inherit. He doesn't inherit though. And it's all about Abraham having all these descendants. But he hardly sees any of them. He sees Isaac, his sons, and that's it. But you know what kept Abraham going? We don't have this recorded in Genesis. But the Spirit of God tells us that there was something that God told Abraham about, and Abraham had his eye set on it. Here it is. All through his time in the land of Canaan, he knew he was a foreigner. He knew that his descendants would get this land one day, not him yet. Not because Abraham wasn't the right time. He knew something else. He knew that one day he would live and dwell in and inherit an amazing city. It says, a city which has foundations. That means this is a permanent city. And it's not only that, this city is told, we're told here, whose architect and builder is God. Which city is this? It's not Jerusalem. Well, let's read a little bit more. In chapter 11, 13 to 16, we'll find out more about this city. All these, it says in 13, died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance. So you think of Abraham, just pausing there. He believed that God would give him descendants. Isaac was born. He believed that his descendants would inherit the land of Canaan. But he didn't get to see all that, except Isaac being born. Okay, so it goes on to say, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And 14 says, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So this city does not belong to this earth. It tells us there in verse 16, this city is in a heavenly country. What city are we talking about? Abraham had his eyes on the glorious, in the words of Pilgrim's Progress, the celestial city. He had his eyes upon the thing that Jesus spoke about in John 14 verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. In Revelation 21 it's called something else. It's called the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. I get excited to think that Abraham knew about these things way back then. And he had his eyes on it. Here's a big picture of faith. Faith is looking forward to what is to come. I've got to read a little bit about this New Jerusalem, what Abraham had his eyes on. It's in Revelation 21, probably the best description of it. I won't read the whole chapter. Man, you've got to read Revelation 21, the whole chapter, but I'll just read the first four verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Wow. And there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city. Picture it. The New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for a husband. What's that metaphoric language meaning? It's beautiful. We had a wedding yesterday. Just coming down the aisle. She looks beautiful. Brides always do. Well, this is better than any bride. This is the best. The New Jerusalem. And even though later on in the chapter it's explained how beautiful this city is and all these gems and all these things are going to make it up, I love how the description tells us what happens in this city. It says in the next verse, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is among people, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And I've got to say, that really thrills me. Even though it's a sparkling city and filled with the glory of God and there's no need of a sun, this tells me that this city is the best place to be. God will dwell in this city. We shall behold the face of God. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. This old way will be done away with. There will be no more death or pain or crying or suffering or anything. And Abraham had his eyes set on that city while he walked the ladder of Canaan. And there's a picture for us. That's what faith looks like. We are called also, as followers of Jesus, this is what faith looks like. Looking forward to what is to come. Living each day, reminding ourselves that we are pilgrims here. This is not our home. We're passing through. We have a glorious city that we will one day dwell in. That's faith. Living with that attitude. And Abraham is an example to us. What a great example that is. Alright, let's now have a look at the last point I'd like to bring out. And this is found in verse 17. Just the first part of Hebrews 11, verse 17. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac." Wow. What do you think about that? What do we learn about faith there? Faith is where we offer up to God even that which is most precious to us. That's an aspect of faith. So we've looked so far, faith is obedience to God. Faith is trusting in God's word. Faith is living for our hope in Christ. Faith is offering up to God even that which is most precious. And this story of our faith, Abraham's faith, is found in Genesis chapter 22. It's a great chapter to read. To summarise it, God is testing, got to stress that word, he's testing Abraham's faith. He calls Abraham to offer up his one and only son, in whom are all the promises, to offer him up on an altar on a hill called Mount Moriah, which is in Jerusalem. Amazing, isn't it? All the things that connect. And there Abraham was to sacrifice his one and only son to God. Let's have a read of Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. Let's have a look at Abraham's faith. "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. Listen to verse 19. Abraham considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received them back as a type. The Hebrew writer is telling us something really special here. We don't pick it up in the Genesis account, but the Holy Spirit reveals to the Hebrew writer that Abraham went ahead in the sacrificing of his son Isaac, knowing full well that all the promises of God are in my son. So what is going to happen here? If I kill my son, what did he think? God's going to raise him up. Because there's no way that Isaac can just be killed. God can even raise him up. What faith? Because he knew that Abraham had to be around. I mean, Isaac had to be around. What an amazing faith. And I've got to read some of that Genesis 22 account to you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 22 and see this amazing scene. Genesis 22, 10 to 12. Genesis chapter 22, 10 to 12. And Abraham, he stretched out his hand. Oh, imagine picturing this. Imagine the anguish in his heart. Abraham stretched out his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Wow. How did Abraham even do this? Because he trusted God, and his faith showed itself by being willing to offer up anything to God. Look at this faith. You know, this incident is huge. I can't help but read a little bit more to you. In Genesis 22, 15 to 18, you listen to the words of the Lord. It says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you. And I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. But that's not the end. Next verse. And in your seed, and it's singular. That means to say, in your, one of your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Who is being spoken of there? Who is the descendant of Abraham that is being mentioned there? There's only one. His name is Jesus. And if you put it all together, what God is saying is this. Look at the picture here. Abraham is willing to offer up to God by faith his best, his son. He's willing to do this. He's offering up, listen to the language, his one and only son. And God responds. He sees Abraham's faith, his obedience, his trust, looking forward, and he's offering up Isaac. And God responds by saying, what? Can I put it to you like this as a paraphrase? Because you were willing to offer up your one and only son, I am willing to offer up my one and only son to the world. Wow. That is a huge moment in the Bible. A great declaration of God's incredible response to Abraham and his willingness to go ahead with his eternal plan to save the world. But there was a man involved in this called Abraham. A man who had faith in God, and it pleased God. And even though this world is full of rebels against God, God was still pleased to one day give up his one and only son for us sinners. I find this a most amazing passage of scripture. But I want to finish this morning by saying to you, when I look at Abraham's faith and the way he was willing to offer up his one and only son, I've got to say to you, I don't know if I'd do that. What about you? Come on, let's be real. That is such a hard thing to do. But then I have to remember something about Abraham's story. Abraham's faith was a growing faith. Don't forget what we read at the beginning of Genesis 22. God tested Abraham. He never tests us if he knows we can't make the test. And I want to just share with you very briefly, Abraham had a growing faith. Do you know his life story well enough? Do you realise that as Stephen says in Acts chapter 7, God called Abraham from Mesopotamia, but he only got halfway. He got to Haran and stopped. And then his dad died, and then he got another call. That's not perfect faith, is it? And then when he gets to the land of Canaan, he thinks, well, I'm going to be in trouble here because my wife is really stunning and all these locals might take her and they might kill me. So, hey, Sarah, just say to everybody that you're my sister. And that's what they did. And she was taken by different people to be married to different people. I tell you what, this is not very good for marriage, is it? I reckon they would have had some discussions about this. But see the lack of trust in Abraham. He's not trusting God. He's taking things into his own hands. Wow. And there's other things too, like when he's promised a child, we often think Sarah laughed. You know there's a passage in the Bible that says Abraham laughed as well? Abraham laughed. And Sarah laughed. That is to say they're laughing in the sense of, ha, how can that be? Doubting God. You see what I'm highlighting to you? Abraham's faith was not always strong. But it was a growing faith. He grew in obedience. He grew in trust. He grew in looking forward to what's ahead. He grew to such an extent that he was willing to be tested and to offer up his one and only son. And that excites me. I'm so glad that even my poor faith, it can grow. And I want to encourage you all to have a growing faith. To grow in your faith in our great God, to grow in your faith in His Son Jesus, to grow in your faith in regard to His Word, that you might have a growing faith. What do you reckon? That we might be those who press on to higher ground. We're going to sing a hymn about that. And it's really all about faith. Laying hold of God. He's an amazing God. May we be all those who have a growing faith in our great God. What a great example Abraham is. May God bless His word to you all and help us all to be encouraged, not only to keep the faith, but to have a growing faith. Our Father, thank you for the great examples in your word about people who had faith. And we thank you for how we could look at the example of Abraham. And we look at the end of his life and go, wow, what a faith he had. But Lord, thank you that it wasn't there to start with, it was a growing faith. And help us to have a growing faith. And I pray specifically for all of us, including myself, that Father, our faith would show itself more and more in being obedient to you. More and more in the way we trust you in regard to what you have declared and promised. More and more in regard to looking forward to our sure and certain and glorious and living hope. That our faith would be seen more and more in the way that we yield all to you, we offer all to you, including our own body. We think of Romans 12:1, where it talks about that we are to present to you our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. Father, help us to understand that we got to grow in faith. So help this faith grow. May we look to you. Help us to nurture it by fellowship and prayer and the reading of your word. Lord, help our eyes to be lifted from the things of this world to you. May we all have this great and wonderful faith in you, in your wonderful Son Jesus, and in your wonderful word. I pray, Lord, you'd help us all. And if we are struggling at the moment, even falling away, please would you stop that fall and bring us back to where we should be. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.